Please turn with me to Titus this morning, letter to Titus, chapter 3, the last chapter of Titus. Titus chapter 3 from verse 3. Well, let's read together from verse 1, but we'll be looking at it more from verse 3 on. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people, but avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him. Knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he is self-condemned. If we read the Bible with our own world in mind, then the first line of our text this morning is very difficult for South Africans, I think. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authority. I find that very difficult at the moment. I don't know if there are those who... Maybe it's just my particular sin, but I really find that very, very difficult to do these days. Submissive to rulers and authorities. It's a very, very difficult one for me. In fact, it's only by the grace of God that I at least don't stand up and do stupid things. And I praise Him for that. But the next injunction is just as difficult, to be obedient. To be obedient, to just obey. To be ready for every good work. To speak evil of no one. To avoid quarreling. To be gentle. And to show perfect courtesy toward all people. These are really hard things. How many of us, when you read that, you can say to yourself, I'm really a good Christian. All this stuff is in place in my life. I don't talk bad about other people. You know, when last did you say something bad about someone else? Well, you have to think about that one. This morning? Or would it be weeks ago? Say something bad about something else. Quarreling, to avoid quarreling. Having arguments. Gentle, to be gentle with people. Show perfect courtesy towards all people. Guy comes next to your car, he's begging, he's sticking his face against your car window. You don't have cash on you, you use only a card. You'll have to have a bag of 2 rand coins to give to everybody who's on the street in the morning. So you either ignore him or you just make him feel bad. courtesy towards all people. Guy gives out pamphlets on the street corner. When you take one and throw it away later on, you actually help him. He's just doing his job. I always take one and I put it in the car because I know it helps him to get rid of them quickly. And sometimes I read them. Most of the time I just throw them away. Perfect courtesy. Perfect courtesy. Perfect courtesy toward all people. Now there's a reason why we need to do that, because there are certain people who don't get that right, and we were among them at one time, and that's our condition before God's kindness and love came to us. You see, for people to do that, to be submissive to authorities and rulers, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle and show perfect courtesy toward all people, something needs to happen. God's kindness and love, the goodness and the loving kindness of God had to appear to change that. You couldn't send them just for some counseling or some polishing or some education to get them to be that kind of people. What was needed was the goodness and the loving kindness of God. And it's because Paul knows that the goodness and the loving kindness of God had appeared to these people that he's writing to, that he can say to them, you need to do this. He knows they have the ability, they have what it takes. They have the goodness and the kindness of God that has come to them. But before that happened, Paul reminds them of their condition before God's kindness and love came to them. Why must we be obedient? Why must we be submissive to authorities? Why must we be ready for every good work and speak evil of no one, avoid quarreling, be gentle, show perfect courtesy toward all people? Why must we do that? Yes, it's because of the benefits that they will derive from that and we will derive from that. Yes, it's why is what do you get for it? It's why is also to what end? What do you want to achieve with that? But that's not the why I'm asking. The why is for what reason? For what reason must I do that? Why in that sense? Here's the reason. He says for this reason. In verse 3, we had a big problem. You had a big problem, says Paul. You had a big problem at one time. Once, there was a time. You remember, you were foolish. You were foolish. That means not understanding. You were unwise. You were foolish. Foolish. Dumb. That's what he's saying. You were like that at one time. With regard to these things, you were disobedient. You had a strong will that you always exerted to your own benefit. Disobedient. You were lost. You were led astray. You were nowhere, he says. Slaves to various passions and pleasures. That's where you were, he says. Slaves to it. Passing our days in malice and envy. Malice is ill will. Malitia is the word that it comes from. It means the opposite of justice. The opposite of malice is goodwill. It's justice, it's righteousness. It is to give to God and to fellow people what is due to them. And the Lord tells us what is due to them. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what's due to God and due to people. And that's justice. It's the golden rule. It's the great commandment. Give unto God and your fellow human beings what is due to them. Malice is to withhold the good that is due to them and give the bad that is not due to them. That's malice, ill will. Passing our days in it, he says. That was the condition, passing the day in it. And envy. Oh, I want what everyone else has. And I hate someone who has something better than I have. Haven't you seen that one? Envying people. I sometimes think people mill about the mall for one reason, and that is so that they can magically subdue this feeling of intense envy in them towards someone who has something better, so that they can be the ones who are envied by others. So they stop envy in themselves and they generate it in others. The minute you get a better thing than someone else has, you stop envy in you, but you generate it in 1,000 others around you. That's why it says you're passing our days in it. It's not just that occasionally it pops out. We're passing our days in it. Not every one of us in the same time, every day, all day, but it's there. It's in the fabric of our society, of our families. Malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. The Holy Spirit says that that's why you need to be kind. That's why you must be submissive to rulers and be obedient. For every good work and speak evil of no one, avoid quarreling, be gentle, show perfect courtesy, because that's what you were like. You need to be like this now because you used to be like that. And I have to admit to you that I often don't see the difference. Not in me. I often don't see the difference in me. I don't. I want to, but I don't see it. Each one for us must speak for ourselves with that. Do you see it in you? Ready for every good work. Speak evil of no one. Avoid quarreling. Just be gentle. Be gentle. Show perfect courtesy towards all people. He says that's what we must do. And the reason for that is we were like this. We had this. We were foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But then something happened. Something happened. Our condition changed after God's kindness and love. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, that's so wonderful. The goodness and the loving kindness of God walked in. It came down. It came to you. His goodness and His loving kindness of God our Savior, He came and saved us. He saved us by His mercy alone. Not by works done by us in righteousness. He didn't look down and see, oh, now they're doing a bit better. Let me go and reward them. He saw that it was all getting worse and worse. And he knew that he had every right to just wipe us. Just wipe us off the face of the planet and start over. But there's something in him that we ought to be very grateful for. His own mercy. By his own mercy, he saved us by that. The goodness and loving kindness of God. It appeared. It came in. And he saved us. How did he do that? By the washing of regeneration. He put the old one to death and raised up the new one. That's what regeneration means. It means to be born again. To die in the first Adam, to be raised up in the second Adam, to be a new person. To no longer live in Adam with the wounds of the soul that he sustained in Eden. Lost faith, just unbelief. Despair instead of hope. Hatred instead of love. Foolishness instead of prudence. Malice instead of justice, concupiscence and lust and gluttony and laziness and all of those things, excess instead of temperance, and the result is fear instead of fortitude, fear instead of love and courage. Die in Adam, who sustained those wounds, and to be raised up in Christ, who restores the virtues in us. Instead of people in unbelief, we believe. Instead of being in despair, we have hope. Instead of hating one another, we love. Instead of being foolish, we are wise. Instead of being malicious, we are just. Instead of being excessive, we are temperate. Self-controlled. Instead of being afraid, we have fortitude. Two kinds of fortitude, bravery and courage. And I can tell you just as an aside, with bravery you can win a war, but you can only win peace with courage. Bravery can win you wars, but only courage can win you peace. Think about that. Just as an aside. Because all of this lack of peace, all of this disturbance inside of us, all of the depression we feel every day, all the anxiety you suffer from, all of that has one source. It had the same source that Adam's depression and fear had when he hid away from God for the first time. A new fear for the first time. He never knew fear before that. That was the first time he was ever afraid and hid away from God. Why was he afraid and hid away from God? Because he knew that all the virtues had just been destroyed in him. Instead of a believing man, he was an unbeliever. Instead of hope, he had despair. Instead of love, he was now a hater. Instead of prudence, he was a fool. Instead of justice, he was malicious. Instead of temperate, he was now being excessive. And he was afraid. All these things caused the fear, destroyed the peace. And so whatever it is, depression, anxiety, whatever it is you may be suffering from, it springs from that. But for the peace of God that transcends all understanding, we need to do what the Holy Spirit tells us. He says, you once were like that. You were foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But, and here's the gospel, changed everything. The goodness and the loving kindness of God our Savior appeared. He saved us. Why did he do that? Not because of our works done in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. It's by his grace. By making us new, making us die in the first Adam and being raised up in the second Adam, the last Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ. And the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's what happened. That's why we can now do this. That's why we can be submissive to authorities. That's why we can be obedient. That's why we can be ready for every good work. That's why we can speak evil of no one. That's why we can avoid quarreling. That's why we can and must be gentle. And we must show perfect courtesy towards all people. That means everybody's always welcome with us. Do not be spoken bad of, do not be argued worse, do not hate and do not envy. Everybody is always welcome. You want a place where nobody will speak badly about you, people won't quarrel with you, we'll be gentle with you, ready for every good work with you. That's us. You come to us. We the people who are like that. Here's why. God did something that made us different. Are we different? Are we supposed to be different? A little bit. We're supposed to be different. It cost him. Now we have a great power to do it. He gave us the Holy Spirit. They just say, oh, there's the Holy Spirit. He'll help you if you really ask. He poured him out richly upon us. He poured his Spirit out richly through Jesus Christ. And that's in your life too. Whether you've had some experience or not, the Holy Spirit has been poured out richly through Jesus Christ to justify us. Because the way we were guilty before him. And it was a debt we couldn't pay. And his wrath abided upon us. And only blood could pay for it. So he wounded his son on the cross to pay the price for your sin and for mine. To justify you before you'd have done a single good thing. To absolve you of your guilt and the penalty that is death. I know we as people, we are not that merciful. When somebody among us has sinned, we take a long time. We never forget it. Which is so sad, isn't it? Isn't it so sad that we never forget it? We just hang on to it, eh? We don't have the mercy of our God. We keep on dancing on many hearts of contrition. We got to punish over and over and over and over. You're not like the father of lights who welcomed back the prodigal son, who squandered everything, grabbed him back. And said, I'm so glad to have you back. We're not like that. And the other thing, if you noticed, if somebody does something big wrong, how quickly everybody else's little wrongs just disappear like they haven't happened. Have you noticed that? One of your children does something wrong in the house and he gets caught out. All the other children look at him. Oh, Oh, he's the one. Suddenly, they're so perfect. You can't look at them. Their halos blind you. Right? Listen, even when you forgive other people, you forgive them as a sinner yourself. Did you hear me, beloved? Did you hear me? If you forgive another sinner, you forgive them as a sinner yourself. Forgive others as they have forgiven me. We're nothing like our God sometimes. His mercy is all that saved us. Justified by His grace. His grace. He now declared us innocent by His grace, by letting it go, by putting it on Himself. These are the reasons why we need to be submissive to rulers and authorities. We must be obedient. We must be ready for every good work. We must speak evil of no one. We must avoid quarreling. We must be gentle and show perfect courtesy to all people. Everybody needs to be welcome with us. The word says you must do that. Why? Because you were like that. And then God bled on a cross by His grace and mercy and loving kindness and goodness. And poured out His Spirit richly on us through Jesus Christ our Savior. And now you heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's what you gained from that. And those are the reasons why you and I need to submit to rulers and authorities. And it's so difficult in this country these days. I know one must speak evil of no one, so I'm not speaking evil of anyone. I'm just saying that it's hard to see what we see and just submit. May the Lord give us grace to be obedient, ready for every good work. What shall we speak and quarrel and be gentle and let everybody be welcome? Paul later on goes on, he says, we must say these things and insist them so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. They're excellent and profitable for people. But then he says, avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they're unprofitable and worthless. All these quarrels, that's about the law. We still have them, but all these theological squabbles that we have. Are you as tired of that as I am already? Are you? My brothers, I know they love me. I love them back. They know that. But they were very upset with me the other day when a bunch of us sat talking about these things. And I said, you know, when I listen to us sometimes, I think you'll find more relevance among a bunch of nuns knitting. At least the nuns knitting, some people will have some gift, be warm for winter. Blah, 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 blah. All the time. And you can see they understand very little of it as they go along as well. So maybe what we need to do is not just get into all controversies all the time and be reminded to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to go find some people who feel welcome with us and tell them about the Lord Jesus. May the Lord make us ready for every good work this morning. You need to go and be kind and gentle and not quarrel and have arguments and not take each other out with speaking evil. And you need to make people feel welcome with you. Why? Because you were like them. Various passions and pleasures, passing your days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating them back. And then something happened. The goodness and kindness of God appeared and came and made everything different. Put you to death in the first Adam and raised you up in His Son Jesus Christ. By His mercy alone, you didn't deserve it. It's not something good you did. And He poured out the Holy Spirit on you richly through Jesus Christ so that you were innocent before Him. He holds nothing against you. Holds nothing against you. Made you an heir of eternal life. So that's why you need to go and do it. And here's what keeps us back from it. A lack of understanding as to how wonderful those treasures are. You see, you won't do it if you don't understand the goodness and the loving kindness of God. If you don't get it, if just the sound of those words, the goodness and the loving kindness of God, if somebody says it to you, it triggers a thousand memories and realities. You look back and you think, oh yeah, I know that goodness. I know that kindness. I remember that thing. I remember when that crisis came and He stepped in by His power and He cleaned out what no one thought could be cleaned out. When He healed what no one thought could be healed. When He gave me strength that nobody thought I could have. The goodness, the kindness of God. If you don't know something about it, then there won't be motivation for you to go and live like this. It'll just be, ah, yeah, what's the big deal? You know. What does it mean that He poured out the Holy Spirit richly on us through Jesus Christ? Do we even know what that means? Is that reality in your life? To be justified by His grace, to stand innocent before God as though you've never done anything wrong. Does that mean anything to you? If it doesn't, then you still think your sin is no big deal. Do you get that? That little bad idea? I've got my bad. If you don't rejoice that you've been justified before God by grace alone, then you have no idea what sin is. You must have an idea what a big deal that is, that God did that. That's huge. That's the biggest thing in your life. To be justified by His grace. What scares me about evangelicals is that no longer seems to be a big deal to them. It's become a platitude. It's become a thing we say. It's become an argument we throw against the Arminians and the Catholics. That's all it is. It's no longer a thing. It grabs me by the throat and says, it was you. He was crucified because of you. It was just a little bad attitude. It was because of you. And because of me, and who and what we are.
It's a big deal. And if you get it just a little bit, it'll drive you to your knees. And maybe when you get up, you'll pray for the government, as he says you must, because you'll see they're still like that. You'll be obedient. You'll be ready for every good work. You speak evil of no one because you'll be afraid they find out about your evil and speak about that. You'll avoid quarreling and be gentle and show perfect courtesy towards others. Always make them feel welcome. Why the courtesy there? Well, when God told us, come close as you are by my grace and mercy and the blood of my Son, wasn't that the greatest courtesy ever? Wasn't it? He's such a courteous God. Have you thought about that? He's a good host. We'll see that tonight as we look at Psalm 23. No, oh, I won't come tonight. Psalm 23 again. Yeah, Psalm 23, the host. It's not just the shepherd psalm. It's two metaphors in there, the shepherd and the host. God is so courteous. He's a perfect host. Sets a table before my face. Anoints the head with oil. Because he saved us by his grace alone. Let's go and be ready for every good work. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, that we could gather again this morning. Hear your word. Help us to be truly different because Christ has made us different by his blood. Pray that you help us to be gentle people who don't quarrel and speak evil of others, that we are ready for every good work. Lord, help us to be gentle and to be courteous. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a little something I wrote this week while sitting on my veranda. Father of light, God of grace, our hearts delight in you. We pilgrim in this troubled place, your glory to pursue. With as a yoke, our deepest sin and turmoil deep untold, we pilgrim on in faith and hope, your glory to behold. Even in our deepest grief and in our deepest pain, we find in this our soul relief, your glory to proclaim. Virtue strains on every side with urgent groans to sway. Our souls to in its bounds abide, your glory to display. In faith and hope and love we walk this arduous pilgrim day. And even when all around us dark, your glory marks the way. In Christ, our prophet, priest and king, we walk the narrow way. Songs of praise we loudly sing, your glory all the day. Amen. The Lord bless you as we go.